Ba-ba-ba-ba. 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 Do-do-do-do-do.
Hello and welcome to Mess Explorers with Xavier and Alan, where, as always, we'll be looking at all manner of films from around the world. Now remember to follow and subscribe to us on your favourite listening platform, as well as on Facebook, Instagram and YouTube, in order to stay up to date and get some extra goodies. This week we're popping to the surface in Italy for Pixar's latest instalment, Luca. So take a breath. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Save, and of course, hello to our favourite fans. Welcome back to Mess Explorers. Before we take the plunge into provincial Italy and tune our inner sea monsters, remember, as always, our podcasts are best enjoyed if you've seen the film prior, as we contain spoilers. As Save said, we are looking at Luca, which is a 2021 film directed by Enrico Casarosa. Luca is written by Enrico, Jesse Andrews, and Simon Stevenson. Luca stars Jacob Tremblay, Jack Dylan Grazer, Emma Berman, and Maya Rudolph, just to name a few. So without further ado, Save, let's get straight into the film. What did you think?
Well, this film seemed to start out drawing direct comparisons between human life above the sea and pseudo-human life below it. And there was all sorts of things, such as, you know, herding fish instead of sheep and whatnot. And on the whole, this film felt like a nice little coming-of-age story. It wasn't without its flaws, though, and there was a few drawbacks. For me, the Italian accent felt overly hammed up, and there was far too many cliché phrases, and Julia's father felt straight out of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. But on the whole, I found this to be an aesthetically pleasing little story set in idyllic settings, and I really couldn't complain too much about anything that we saw.
Look, say, the father did remind me of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and it's also lovely to see a single father who contradicts his oversized appearances by cooking these delicious meals, teaching the boys the skills needed to fish, and supporting his daughter in her dream to compete in the Porto Rosso big annual race. The cliche phrases, however, are outdated and boring, and I often found myself just rolling my eyes when they appeared. But I do agree with you, Sabe. It's a coming-of-age story, and as all adolescents are aware, there's this layered complexity to that period of time, and I wanted more depth to the narrative encapsulating these growing pains. For me, Sabe, Luca was a warm, delectably animated adventure, which is a subtle reminder of the sun-soaked days spent with our dearest loved ones. The animation of the location is so convincing that I almost wanted to catch a flight to Italy and stroll through the Riviera to experience the pleasures and the cultures that Italy has to offer. Unfortunately, COVID has put a big damper on these plans. But Jacob Tremblay utilizes his voice in such an expressive way, enunciating his pitch to emote feelings of rational inquisitiveness and universal wonderment. Jack Grazer's portrayal of Alberto is fantastic equipoise to Luca, and he delivers these rash impulsiveness mixed with these false confidence, and his synergy pairs well with Tremblay's somewhat timid portrayal of Luca. The supporting cast is also sensational. Gaffigan and Rudolph have cemented their places as comedy legends, and they bring a good laugh to this film, and there are many laugh out loud moments which I really appreciated.
While I don't necessarily agree about any laugh out loud moments, or for my part, I do agree with your comments about vocal artists. I did feel as though they did a wonderful job of portraying their characters' emotions and vitality for life so well, even if some of the script was questionable at times. And I really feel like this lent a great deal of credibility to the character and their portrayal that we actually saw on screen.
I think it's just the inner child in me coming out there. But this is Pixar's latest installment, and for a studio that's delivered on magical storylines with heartfelt moments, that's exactly what I expected. But what I feel was delivered was far from my expectations. The first act sets the expectations and the standards for the viewers, but unfortunately, the second and the third act don't follow through. Luca is a sea monster who seems to not have many friends, and he's intrigued by these sunken trinkets from the human world. He's longing to explore the world beyond the reef. It's only sort of perpetuated once he encounters Alberto. He finds out that once he's on land, he will assume a human form, and there's this innate belief imposed by his parents that good kids like Luca don't break the rules. But I feel like maybe it's a lack of relationships and interactions with kids of his age or of his species that force him to have this affinity towards Alberto. But the concepts that are set up in the first act actually don't get resolved by the end of the movie, and I found this to be a big gripe for me.
Yeah, this film certainly fell short of the mark for me too, which is not to say that I think it was a terrible film, but it was nowhere near as good as I felt it could have been. It had the right elements and undertones of a coming-of-age story and finding out about one's identity separate from their parents, but it just felt a little tepid on the whole, and perhaps this was a delivery issue, again with the somewhat asinine and boring dialogue that was littered throughout the film, attempting to pander to some form of lowest common denominator of childlike comedy. But let's be real. In my opinion, most kids have a better grasp of comedy than what this film would have led us to believe. And I guess at the end of the day, I was in essence, just bored with this film as a result of the pace and delivery.
Look, the themes in Luca reminded me of, you know, Pixar's Onward, Finding Nemo and Dory. And these are stories about two strangers becoming friends through the bonding nature of adventure. But unlike some of the comparable films, Luca is by no means a tearjerker. But as Sandy Chan from Common Sense Media astutely conveys, not every Pixar film needs to be an emotionally cathartic affair. Now, this doesn't detract from the viewing experience, as not all films have to be emotional. This instead was a very light-hearted film, and I feel like that potentially could be a reason for my gripes as well. My problem with this film is it opens up these storylines such as Alberto's abandonment, the fishermen at the start of the movie, and the sea monsters, Luca's real intention to defy his parents, Alberto's jealousy. I just wish the film resolved and explained these in more depth. I wanted to know the relationship between the humans and the sea monsters and what caused them to hate each other or to be hunted, and the reasons why these sea monsters transform into humans when they become off ground. Is there a backstory to that? What's the development behind that? You know, why Alberto's father actually left? And I feel like all these gripes really tainted the film for me. Also, why would they decide to create Julia's rich arc as an uber-competitive girl who's essentially an outsider to the citizens of Porto Rosso, and then use her as a tertiary character without exploring her narrative? It just all seems a bit bland for me, and I feel like the main narrative just steams through the motions, and by the end of the third act, it tries to resurrect some of Julia's flair, but it only provides an opportunity to secure her significance to the boys and nothing more.
This is exactly my thoughts as well. I don't expect Pixar to always be an emotional journey, but this film had all the elements to make it a truly great coming of age story, exploring all the aspects you've just mentioned. And yet it went for this boring, half-assed attempt at something that looked pretty but had no true substance, for it only ever touched on the issues without truly delving into them. And for me, that was a huge opportunity missed, especially when you talk about elements such as abandonment and coexistence. So few children's films deal with this. In fact, the last films I can actually recall doing it well was the first two Toy Story films. Whereas this just tried to put a glossy veneer on poignant topics and then moved on. And I feel like that did a massive disservice to all the themes that were otherwise layered throughout this film. But with that being said, let's actually go through some of the themes. So, Alan, I'll let you start off on this.
Look, one of the most distinct themes that which runs through the film is freedom. And in my opinion, that's what the Vespa represents. The capability to be unhindered, not only by his parents and the ocean where he grows up, but by the land too. Luca is so fixated on leaving his home behind and the freedom that signifies, while Alberto is just a catalyst for his mundane life. Later on in the film, we see Luca become fascinated with the world and how it's made and the science behind it. And there's this genuine interest in education. And I feel like the film not only explores the physical freedom, but also the freedom achieved through knowledge. But sadly, this was only touched briefly towards the final act. And that was just such a disappointment.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit conflicted with the theme of education in this film, because the film almost went down the pathway of suggesting the entire species beneath the surface was dumb, uneducated, and knew nothing about the world. And it just felt like it had this distinct human arrogance to suggest that you had to come above the world and be in the world of humans to get an education at some poxy university or school. That didn't really sit well with me, because it made out that Luca and his friends and family were somehow inferior simply because of where they came from. Now, I don't want to get onto a diatribe about this, but if you were looking for some sort of underlying racist tones, that's it right there. But let's not go into that. The Vespa, on the other hand, I think you're right. It really was this sort of physical embodiment of freedom and Luca's desire to escape and see the world and see beyond his own home and that which he knows and essentially all that he's known. The Vespa, as you say, can take him anywhere, be it on land or just in his mind. And I think when it was bonded to Alberto, it was this catalyzing event that actually caused them to bond with one another. And so the Vespa was synonymous with so many different things in this coming of age story, because it was a driving motivator, albeit at a somewhat anthropomorphic level, for Luca and to some extent also Alberto. And in some ways, it was also a character element in its own right that also brought them together with Julia, as well as their reasons for entering the race and competing and so on and so forth. So the Vespa was actually quite a critical element in the film.
Yeah, and I think you've actually mentioned this before, Sabe, is the film's bombardment of Italian tropes and motifs. I just felt like it was overused, and I think you touched on this at the start, but Pixar is known for integrating, you know, these cultures very subtly into films, without oversaturating the narrative and the dialogues with slapstick obviousness, or at least slapstick cultural obviousness, right? But in this particular occasion, every exclamation that Julie has is some Italian cheese or Italian word, and it's just over the top and irate.
Yeah, it was. I mean, part of me was almost expecting this 1980s Boys in the Hood type, you know, grab your crutch and walk with your legs like you've been riding a horse and say something daft kind of connotation. It just didn't work. I mean, we're 2021, for God's sake. That stuff was fine 30 years ago, but it just felt distinctly out of place now.
Yeah. And that stuff's fine if you're making a period movie about that particular era, because that's how people acted. But when you've got the opportunity to be creative and more liberal in your expression, and especially your creative expression, I feel like it's a bit of a cop-out when directors have the liberty to include a surplus of cultural information for no particular reason.
And I think, too, when you talk about, you know, whether it's period correct, too, this film, I would argue, wasn't set in 2021. This film was probably set more like 1950s and 1960s. Mm. And so those cultural references were probably even more out of place then, because had you behaved like that in a small town in the 50s or 60s, you probably would have been smacked.
Yeah, it's sad, but, you know, I guess it's a learning curve for the director, and hopefully Pixar would vet the narratives a little bit more closely moving forward.
Mm.
And now the other thread winding around the narrative is identity. And I think this goes hand in hand with the theme of freedom that we just discussed. The film sort of shows how they coexist. And one interesting take on identity the film explores is how environment shapes who we want to portray to the world. The town of Porto Rosso is known for its aggressive fishing and the scorn over sea monsters. And this relationship actually isn't explored, but heavily alluded to. In my opinion, a Porto Rosso acts as a metaphor for the real world, and Luca and his family, and basically all the sea monsters, are citizens who have left their own demographic behind to assimilate into these new cultures, and at times they are unable to display their true scales, to metaphorically speak, as the repercussions may be not favourable.
Yeah, look, if I overanalyze this, the way you've just brought that up makes me wonder if there was a bit of a political agenda in this film, and actually talking about, you know, refugees coming across the Mediterranean into Italy.
Mm.
It's a bit of a thing of the last few years in Italy in particular. And perhaps it was having a go at that. I like to think that it wasn't. But, you know, at the end of the day, all of us, whether we're directors, writers, or just an audience, we're influenced by the things we see and hear in the world around us. But I do think you're right. The film was probably more just about an individual's identity and whether we feel we're able to express who we are on the inside. Now, for Luca, obviously, in the film, the portrayal was much more easily and readily available for an audience if the change happened on the outside. Mm. But I think it probably really was about finding who we are inside, being comfortable with who we are inside, and allowing ourselves to express who we actually are. But by the same token, because the film didn't explore the concept of why these characters suddenly metamorphed into human form, it sort of left it at this sort of juncture whereby it was no longer a conscious choice for the likes of Luca or Alberto to hide who they are for any reasons of self-protection. It was just a part of the story that really wasn't relevant to that journey of self-discovery or acceptance. So I felt like there was a little bit of a disconnect in that theme, because on the one hand it was very powerful, but on the other hand it didn't work entirely in the narrative.
Look, I wouldn't have actually mind if there was a political angle, or if the director was saying, hey, this is an issue that we faced, but these are the two sides to that coin. Mm. And if he was able to articulate that in a genuine Pixar manner, man, this film would have been amazing. Mm. And I think that's what my problem with this film is. It had the potential to be great. And I'm not saying it's a bad film, but it wasn't a great Pixar film. Because the standards are so high, this actually falls in the bottom five for me.
Absolutely. And as you say, you know, some of these great things that it had the potential for was such as when Alberto essentially outs himself as a sea monster to Julia. Mm. And Luca doesn't do anything to protect him. He just sort of allows him to be outed and turns his back on him to some extent. That's a very powerful theme that should have been played out and should have been explored in greater detail.
Mm,
but instead, definitely, Alberto just disappears. Luca seems to sort of go on with his life feeling a little bit guilty, and eventually goes to find Alberto, where we find him back on his tower on the island dealing with his abandonment issues. But then the film doesn't even deal with the abandonment issues. It just sort of skips over that as well. So yeah, Pixar had this great potential of narrative with amazingly deep themes and absolutely squandered all of them.
Yeah, and I want to sound like a broken record here, Sage, but I wish they explored this in more depth. We see the facial cues expressed by Berger throughout the film while the audience perceives him to be jealous, but their relationship breaks when Luca betrays him, as you just mentioned, and I don't think it's the jealousy that breaks them. This whole establishment was rocky for me, you know? Look, I want to chuck this out there. It's a crazy idea, but I get the feeling that they were more than just friends. You know, it was more than the love of brotherhood. I actually feel it could have been the buddings of a romantic relationship in these young men's lives.
No. Look, I'm going to have to vehemently disagree with you here. No. I think that's total claptrap, because what we saw was a jealousy between these two when Julia came onto the scene. Now, on the one hand, yes, you could say, oh, Alberto's, you know, jealous that Luca's finding affections of Julia. But I think at the end of the day, let's be honest, they're children. They're small children at that. I don't buy into this 21st century garbage. So I think that's ridiculous. I think really what it was about was the fact that Alberto was isolated. He had been abandoned. The only person in his life he felt was Luca, and that he was going to lose Luca to Julia or to the town, and that once again he would be abandoned. I think it comes back to that, not any weird relationship nonsense.
Look, for some reason or another, I felt it during the movie, and I don't know why. Maybe this is because J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, actually explores a similar theme like this, or a bond between her characters in The Cursed Child. Look, personally for me, I felt his jealousy could have been, yes, you're right, from Julia getting in the way, but maybe because he liked him. Maybe for me, it just felt a little bit more romantic than anything. But then again, it's just an opinion. It's not my only opinion, but it's a opinion.
Yeah, okay, man. Look, we're all entitled to our opinion. I'm still going to vehemently disagree with you there, but so be it. Moving on, though, I think another important theme that was touched on in the film, and probably to a little bit better extent than some of the others, was the concept of parents being overprotective of their children.
Mm.
And that they come to realize the need to actually let go of their children at a certain point to enable them to blossom into their own individual selves. How do you feel about that?
Look, as a parent myself, I do feel the pros and cons of both sides of the argument. But yeah, look, I think a parent's role is not just to be dictators in the lives of their kids, but to be a guiding beacon for their actions and to encourage them to take responsibility. So the reason why Luca rebels is because he doesn't want to go with his uncle into the depths of the ocean. But I wish the film explored those reasons a little bit more. What is it like at the bottom of the ocean? What does that mean for him? Mm. Where are Luca's friends? What does the actual land symbolize? And this is because there's no backstory between the humans and the sea monsters, apart from that very first scene that we get in the film. You know, it's not enough for me to feel coherent about the narrative.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree.
But on that note, Save, what did you think about the actual animation and the music behind this film?
I think the animation, from an aesthetic standpoint, worked quite well. I felt like the style suited this type of film. The sort of tonal palette was very reminiscent of what one would expect on the Italian Riviera. It was a vibrant, sunny, warm feeling location, and I think it did a great job. And likewise, the ocean felt like this beautiful marine environment that was essentially untarnished by man, save for the few things that fell overboard. And I think there was an element of hope in the way this film was animated. You know, the characters essentially were portrayed in a very soft and wide-eyed, almost in wonderment style. And I feel like that animation style therefore served to actually help convey the motivations and feelings of the characters that much more as well. So from an animation standpoint, I think it was really quite effective. And as for the music in this film, I think it hit all the right tones as well. You know, we had some older, more classic Italian numbers throughout the film. I think there was only a limited number of songs actually in the film, but they all seemed to hit the right notes. And as I said, made us feel a bit more like we were in that sort of 1950s, 1960s sort of time period. And they had the right sort of energy and tone and reflectivity to them. So I feel like on the whole, from an aesthetic and musical perspective, this film actually hit all the marks it needed to. How about you?
Pixar have set the benchmark for their animations, and on a technical side, this film delivered. The colors were vibrant, the scenes had all the flair that you expect from an established animation studio, along with the matching upbeat score to bring it all together. So Pixar have come through with the aesthetic goods, and that's what we expected. But with that being said, Save, let's wrap this bad boy up.
right? So this was a quaint enough little film, as we've discussed, but I didn't feel like it was particularly good on the whole. It had many a nice life message for children, some of which may have gone above their heads, but I just didn't feel like it was as eloquently portrayed as it could have been, and we know Pixar is capable of far better when dealing with such rich thematic content. Now, I'm starting to get the feeling in recent years that Pixar's just starting to push out content to make money and is no longer as invested in making truly beautiful, heartfelt, and thematically rich films. So while I didn't hate this film, I certainly didn't love it. So I'm actually only going to give this film a 5.8 out of 10.
Interesting. Look, Pixar did come out with Soul recently, so yeah, and that was a great film. So I'm going to give them a chance, but hopefully they can redeem themselves in the next one. But Luca, for me, recycles so many well-known, recognizable tropes, while its greatest qualities just floats into the abyss. While there are ample material to resonate with younger audiences, Luca fails to reel in the older audiences with its interweaving narrative magic it's known for. Luca offers the Pixar hallmarks of visual grandeur, but it neglects to take risks. And that's something synonymous with the top Pixar movies, leaving established ground but a lot of unexplored territory. And it's for these reasons I give this film a 6.3 out of 10.
Well, that's all from us again, folks. Next week, we're going to be finishing off the last three episodes from the Navarasa anthology. And remember, you can all let us know what films you'd like us to do too. Just drop us a comment on our socials. But until then, we hope you've enjoyed yet another episode from us. And remember to give us a follow and subscribe on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And recommend us to your friends and family. Until next week, though, goodbye from us.
Goodbye, guys. Thank you for listening and thank you for your continual support. I think next week is our final episode for season two.
Yes, it is, indeed.
But with that being said, we'll see you all next week.
Ciao. Tutti i miei giorni.